She's been here since she was here. Oh, how old is that? Seven. We won't ask her how old she is now. Anyway, I don't want to steal any. I don't know what you're going to talk about. Can I say, share that you're a missionary?
Sure.
Can I share that?
Yeah.
She was a nurse and went to Chad?
South Sudan
as a missionary. She has a beautiful twin sister. I can tell them apart now.
I can't.
Because I don't see them together. Kate, and she was with YWAM.
Yes.
Yes, so they've just got a heart for missions, these girls. And so I will hand over to Melissa. For those, I didn't hear you on Sunday because we were in Bagara, so I could have zoomed in, but I thought, no, I didn't. I wanted to hear what you had to say today. So she was sharing. Did Mary Ann share?
Yes.
So she did a video.
It was an older video.
Sorry?
An older video.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I'll have to watch it. So bless you, Melissa. Thank you very much.
How are you guys going?
Good.
Mike's Jan going to actually stay?
Yeah.
We'll see.
We think so.
Just tilt that down a bit.
Down?
Yeah.
Because I'm short?
Yeah.
Excellent.
That's better.
We were
So, thank you very much for having me come and share today. As Judy mentioned, my name is Melissa, and I've been connected in with Rangeville for...
that long.
Two and a bit decades, I think. So some of you will know that I was connected in with a non-denominational Christian mission organisation called SIM, or Serving in Mission is the long name for it. Initially, I went for a year commitment in 2016, where I served in South Sudan with a team of people, and I was there as a nurse in the healthcare clinic. I then returned and finished some Bible college studies and began to prepare to serve long-term, but this time in Central Africa. And my focus there was for pioneering a team on evangelism, discipleship, and church planting. So this kind of led me on a little bit of a journey, and I completed a tropical nursing course in London at the start of 2020, and then went on to study French full-time for nearly 18 months. So I returned to Australia at the end of 2021, and obviously I tended to move back overseas quite soon after, but I soon discovered that God had other plans, and I finished up with SIM in 2022. So this year's theme for Word Cafe is about waiting and reset, and that's kind of been something that I've been doing in the last couple of years. And also something that I reflected on as I was preparing to speak at Mission Sunday. Often a season of waiting feels like a dry desert and a land of barrenness. But what is not seen is actually the preparation season that you can be in for harvest. So in Genesis 37, we have a young shepherd boy named Joseph. And he was given a dream, which he very excitedly told his brothers, who proceeded to betray him and sold him into slavery. And they were jealous of him because he had his father's favour. Yet Joseph was continued to be obedient to God's leading, even radically so when he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And despite that, and being sold into slavery and then thrown into jail, Joseph remained faithful. So what looked like God's abandonment was actually training grounds for the leadership position that God had for Joseph. And I wonder whether Joseph sat in prison telling himself that any day now something would happen and he would suddenly be released. But in fact, he had to wait 2 years before the chief cupbearer remembered him and told Pharaoh about him to interpret his dreams, where Pharaoh then proceeded to give him favour and made him the leader of Egypt. Life has its twists and turns, and what I've learned over the years is that God can give you a dream or a promise, which is obviously really exciting, but then suddenly life gets hard. While we're in the middle of the season, we can't always see how God is training us for what he's promised us. And just as Joseph's season of imprisonment was needed to train him to be the leader that that Egypt needed, God also needs to prune and prepare us for what he wants to do in our lives before he's able to bring it to fruition. In 2006, when I was 15, I joined a team of 30 other teenagers on a mission trip to Vanuatu. It was a stretching experience, and by the end of the summer, I had come back and realised that God wanted me to pursue cross-cultural ministry further. The only problem was I didn't want to. And after wrestling with it for a good couple of weeks, I reluctantly said yes. I knew that as a believer, we were called to share the gospel, but I felt very unprepared. As any 15-year-old would, I had conditions. The first was that I didn't want to go to a Muslim area. It was not long after 9/11, and my view of Islam was one of fear. Secondly, I wanted to go to a country that spoke predominantly English. I was happy to learn a local language, but I wanted to be able to communicate as soon as I got off that plane. I think I used to have my life planned out. The third, and in my opinion, the most important thing at the time, was that there was absolutely no way that I was going to go single. So I should have known back then to never say never, because the first country I served in was South Sudan, where very little English is spoken despite it being one of the official national languages. My ministry was mainly to Muslims, and of course I was incredibly single. So what changed? Did I suddenly wake up one day and decide to go to the other side of the world where I knew nobody and couldn't speak the language? Not exactly. But I knew a God who died for my sins and wanted a personal relationship with me. I knew that I loved Jesus and wanted to follow his command to go into the world and share the gospel. And it was my willingness to say yes, even when I had no idea what I'd signed up for. My life hasn't panned out the way that I thought it would, but I wouldn't want it any other way. God has opened doors that I could never have imagined and brought opportunities that I wouldn't even have thought of. And his plan for my life is so much greater than I ever realised, and he knows exactly what I need in whatever season I'm in. So when I lived in South Sudan in 2016, my focus was working in a healthcare clinic, and my role was more of a doctor than a nurse. I triaged, diagnosed, treated, and prescribed medications for patients. I quickly realised that while medical ministry is incredibly important, my passion was more around relationship building, evangelism, and church planting. So at the end of my year-long commitment, I decided to pursue long-term cross-cultural ministry, but with the focus of community engagement rather than medical. And that's when I came back and completed some Bible college studies and all the things I had to do. So if we fast forward to the end of 2019, by this point, I'd nearly finished all of my preparation to go back to the mission field. And the plan was to continue working for a couple of months before moving to France to start a year of full-time French studies. So the ministry that I was connected in with in Central Africa was a pioneering ministry establishing a team, planning on establishing a team in a rural area where there were several predominantly Muslim tribes. We were the only mission organization in that region, and our focus was for relationship building, church planting, and evangelism. We also worked alongside the local church, but with the local church, they consisted mostly of workers from other parts of the country who had grown up in a Christian part of the nation. A couple of weeks later, at the end of January of 2020, I learned that the class intake for the language school that year was delayed. And because I'd already relocated all my stuff from Melbourne, where I'd previously been living for several years, I was a little bit confused as to what I would do next. this random thought popped into my head of possibly studying a tropical nursing course in London, which only started in a couple of weeks. It was an out-of-the-box idea, and I wasn't certain that my mission organisation would approve me going. But God made a way. And suddenly, instead of moving to France, I was on a plane to London, despite not having all my mission paperwork completed or the financial support. My mission organisation had very kindly decided to pay for my course and also the flights and class that as pre-field training, but I was relying on my savings for everyday living expenses. 3 weeks later, the world shut down due to the pandemic. And because I'd only just arrived in the UK, I didn't feel the need to go home. So I decided to stay, not knowing what was in front of me. God continued to provide a way, even in the uncertainty of the season, and I was very much waiting to see what God would do next. Halfway through the year, after completing my 6-month course, my UK visa was nearly expired, and the Australian government decided to change its border restrictions, which caused my flights to be cancelled, and it looked pretty much practically impossible to return back to Australia. God miraculously made a way of cutting through all of the red tape to actually get me to France. Had I not left Australia in, I think it was the March of 2020, I wouldn't have been allowed out of Australia, which then wouldn't have been possible for me to start language studies in 2020. So what looked like a delay to my plans was simply a detour, and God was actually still working in the dry and barren seasons to provide a way forward. If we then fast forward again through that year to Christmas Eve of 2020, I was living on the outskirts of Paris in full-time French study, and the French government decided to lift the 8 p.m. curfew that we'd been under for the previous weeks to allow people to celebrate Christmas. A friend and I decided to go into Paris to have a look at the Christmas lights, as we were the only ones left at the language school for the Christmas holidays. Walking along the cold streets of the 4th arrondissement, which is kind of central Paris for people who have absolutely no idea what an arrondissement is, I randomly began imagining this light-filled Parisian apartment and thinking how cool it would be to live in one. My following thought was how weird that I was thinking this, because I didn't even like Paris. And my response was, God, if this is you and you want me to stay longer in France, you're going to have to change my heart, because I don't want to. An honest response, and some would say a bold prayer. Because what I didn't know then was that in the space of weeks, I would go from, I don't want to stay, to, I know that God has me here. 5 weeks later, I had an amazing encounter at church one Sunday. I'd gone to introduce someone who was visiting to the leadership team, and there was a couple at the front who were praying for people, and they asked whether they could pray for me. What I wanted to say was, oh, no, it's fine, I'm fine. However, God kindly decided to ambush me. My memory of the moment is likely far sassier than it actually was, but the phrase that came into my head was along the lines of, are you serious? Who in their right mind, as a Christian, would ever say no to prayer? So after God had pulled me into line and the couple started praying for me, one of the first things that this guy said was, Lord, we know that Melissa is called to the Francophile world. Wait, what? No, I'm not. I'm going to Africa. As I stood there arguing with God, the person praying was answering all of my questions and unknowingly prophesying over my life. I can't explain how I knew, but I just knew that part of what God had for me was actually in France and not just Africa. And it was a moment that completely changed my life and my understanding of why I was in France for that season. So as the year progressed and I struggled through trying to learn French, the sense that God had more for me in France didn't lessen. it was a big reason why I tried to renew my visa at the end of 2021, and also why I was so surprised and emotionally unprepared for when it was denied. That and the Australian government was still not allowing Australians to return home. On my last Sunday in France, I was sitting in church, devastated and angry that I had to return. And the sermon was on being radical for Jesus and taking radical steps of faith. Been there, done that, didn't work. God and I certainly weren't on speaking terms at that point. And the closing song came on, talking about surrender. I felt God quite strongly say to me, "Do you praise me because I give you what you believe I've promised you? Or will you praise me regardless?" Ouch. I knew in that moment that what God was asking of me was to leave France and be okay with the possibility of never returning. What he wanted wasn't what I could do for him, how many people I could tell about Jesus, or how massive of a ministry I could build in his name. He wanted me and my heart and the simple act of radical obedience to say yes, regardless the cost. It hasn't been an easy journey, as every door around me closed. Soon after returning to Australia, knowing that the France door was closed, ministry plans for Central Africa also had significant changes, and I knew that God was leading me into something else. I just had no idea what. So the past couple of years have continued to have challenges as I've tried to settle back into life in Australia, and I haven't known what it looks like or for how long I will be back. I knew when I returned to Australia that it wasn't just going to be for a couple of months, but I didn't anticipate that it was going to be years later, that I would still have no clear direction of when or even if I'll head back overseas. Just as God used Joseph's imprisonment to prepare him for leading Egypt, he also placed me in a season of hibernation. And people didn't understand why I would walk away from ministries and a nursing career that I poured my heart and life into. I didn't really know either. And I spent months praying through several key decisions before they were officially made. Yet I knew that if God was calling me into something different, I didn't want to be the person standing in his way. Some days the waiting has felt like a dry and desolate place, most days probably, but I know that my God is a good Heavenly Father who would not lead me down a path that is a dead end. And being back in Australia, I now work in a secular workplace, and it's opened doors to where I can share about my faith. Every day I see people who are lost and hurting. The harvest is ripe. People just don't realise how much they need Jesus. So maybe you're also in a season of waiting or a season that feels like a dry and desolate place. And I know that it's not always easy. And people have well-meaning platitudes that don't usually help. But can I encourage you that God is still with you and he's still working underneath the surface? What feels like a delay could very well be a detour or God simply sidestepping the mountains that are in place. Trust him and he will lead you out of the wilderness. That's all I have, but if you have any questions.
Would you like to share what you're doing now? Presently.
So presently I'm back in Toowoomba. I'm working out at Wellcamp Airport, mainly in security, but also doing some customer service as well, just to do something different. So.
And that, do you have opportunities? You were saying that you see people around you that are hurting. Is that in your workplace or just in?
Yeah, partly everyday life, but it's been interesting having conversations with co-workers, kind of, where we get a chance to talk. People come from lots of different backgrounds, but they generally seem to have a little bit of understanding or a little bit of, like, they might have been raised a Catholic or, Christian-ish background. Mm.
Given up your registration?
Yeah, I haven't worked clinically since the end of 2019.
Is that because of the vaccine?
Yes and no. I mean, I wasn't planning on returning to nursing once I'd come back to Australia, and then there was a lot of other stuff, including political spaces. Yeah.
I think I've shared that before when Lauren came back from mission field, when she went to India, a short-term mission, and when they did the debrief, the guy said, wherever there are unsafe people, there's a mission field.
True.
You know, and I, that stayed with me because, you know, sometimes you do think, I'm really not sharing Jesus' love enough, and but we just share the love of Jesus wherever we are, don't we? Our everyday life, our working, you know, our neighbours, you know, he's called us to love. One of his commands is to love our neighbours. And sometimes that can be a hard walk for some. So, any other questions for that you'd like to ask Melissa? So it's a waiting. She's in her waiting period, waiting on God to show you the next steps. Yes, yeah. And that can be hard. Yeah. So, Father, we just thank you for Melissa, for her heart for you. Above all else, Father, that is what you want, is her heart, her passion for you. And, Lord, we know that you will never leave us nor forsake us. You guide us, and every minute of the day you guide us, Father. We hear so many miracles of people taking the wrong turn on a street, and it's because your angel's preventing you from going into an accident or something like that. We just know that, and we often don't recognise it, and we often don't give you the praise and the honour and the glory for all of the things that we have in our day and how you order our day. So, Father, we just pray your anointing and blessing on Melissa. Pray, Father, that as she waits on you, that you are using her every minute, and that if she can keep her eyes fixed on you, Father, that you will show her that her ministry is wherever she is, that she loves people. She loves people. She wants them to come into that special relationship that we each have with Jesus, that personal relationship. And so, Lord, just bless her. And I just pray, Lord, that everything, I loved her talk and I loved her honesty and how she can just be so honest with God. And God doesn't want us to sort of put him up there on a kind of throne. He's sitting beside us. He's carrying us when we're hurting. He's, you know, just God is with us all the time, and we can be real with him. And we can shout at him if we're angry, if we're hurting. He wants us to be real with him. So, Father, I just pray your anointing upon her and upon everything that she does, in Jesus' name, amen. And if anybody does want any prayer for any reason, please don't have some prayer. Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the foot of his throne, and grab someone to pray with you. I'm sure Melissa would love to pray with you. If anybody would like to come and have some prayer with her, that would be awesome. So thank you. Bless you. Early marks today.